This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening.
The number of people who are feared dead runs into tens of thousands. What we know is that the people who are there now, who survived this disaster, need our help. The international community is mobilizing.
The words there of Francis Kennedy, spokesperson for the World Food Program, working as part of the effort to assist the Philippines in the wake of Typhoon Haiyan. We will have reports from the islands. The staging areas for the relief efforts are being organized and stocked up. Distribution is the main challenge right now. Also this hour, a discussion of the political challenges for the civilian democracy in the Philippines. Also, a Supreme Court test of some longstanding union organizing tactics in the U.S. The debate over the farm bill on Capitol Hill becomes a debate over social policy as the food stamp program takes center stage. And we'll explore the history of America from a carnivore's perspective, the very serious side of America's meat-eating culture. But first,
the biggest challenge is assessing the needs, getting to the communities that have been affected, and trying to get a sense of what their biggest needs are.
It's a spokesman for Mercy Corps, Andrea Koppel, describing the biggest challenge for rescuers and relief operations in the Philippines right now, seeing the full extent of the damage. Janice Sweeney is a spokesman for the American Red Cross, talking about the additional difficulties in communications after the devastation of the typhoon.
We sent two of our specialists in telecommunications along with a satellite system to help with that issue. They can pop up our satellite communication system and be able to provide phone lines and computer lines so that they can help, you know, bring that communication piece back together.
We'll see how much that assists the devastated infrastructure in the Philippines. In one of the staging areas for relief operations, relatively intact Cebu City, where we spoke with New York Times reporter Austin Ramsey.
Haiyan sort of plowed through the midsection of the islands. And so there are areas, particularly close to where the eye of the storm passed through, that were quite devastated. And Tacloban City is, of course, the one that everyone has been paying attention to the past few days.
And in terms of infrastructure, how has the weather and just the complicated geography of the Philippines made a rescue and recovery effort almost impossible?
Well, obviously, the geography of the Philippines plays a huge part. It's made up of islands, and they're easily cut off. So, in the case of Leyte, the island where Tacloban is, it's been quite hard to get aid in via the airport. What the storm did is it just caused a huge wall of water to crash over much of the island, and it just took out everything. Homes, roads, cars, the airport. All infrastructure on the island is pretty decimated, and so it's quite hard to. There's not much really to start from in terms of repairing the infrastructure in order to ensure the flow of aid.
And the communication system itself is something that has to be created from square one. Certainly in Tacloban City. We're talking with New York Times reporter Austin Ramsey in Cebu City in the Philippines. I mean, we're even having difficulty hearing you on your Skype link. What's the national state of the communications network right now in the Philippines?
Well, it's, you know, the national state is fine, but it's certain areas that were hit hardest by the storm where it's just been completely destroyed. So I have colleagues, less than 100 miles away in Tacloban, and it's quite difficult to get to them, to communicate with them. All we have is their email communications through satellite phone, so we can't call them or anything like that. So in places like Leyte, the telecommunications infrastructure is also completely destroyed.
Is Cebu City a staging point for the relief effort, or one of them?
Yes, it is. Lots of aid groups are sort of setting up here because it's the closest point in terms of flying into Tacloban. So it's also a staging point for journalists and what have you. So there's, you know, quite a lot of people are going from Cebu to Tacloban. Quite a lot of people are trying to get out. It's much easier to get there than to get out these days.
Reporting from Cebu City in the Philippines, New York Times reporter Austin Ramsey. Austin, thanks so much.
My pleasure.
On the line from the Philippine capital, Manila, Orla Fagan is Humanitarian Affairs Officer at the United Nations Office for Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs. Orla, what's the condition now some days after the worst of Typhoon Haiyan? The weather is unstable, we understand, and the relief effort is really just getting started.
It is. It's cranking up as we speak. The Americans have come in. They've brought in a Hercules. There was no transport in and out of the airport in Tacloban today, but it will all really start coming into gear. We had Valerie Amos in, the Undersecretary General and the Coordinator of Humanitarian Affairs, and she came in today to launch the appeal, which is $301 million. The Emergency Seed Fund has already been approved that the UN itself has given, and that is at $25 million. The aid is pouring in. The government today expressed gratitude for the solidarity shown by the humanitarian community and by the global community for the people of Tacloban.
In terms of delivery of services, how are we doing there?
It's still not getting in at the moment. It's the challenge. There is a severe storm heading our way again. It's nature. We're fighting nature at this stage. People are getting annoyed. They're looting. You can't blame them. They need food. They're desperate for food. We're desperate to get in. So there's frustration all around at this stage.
And in terms of government preparation, I've seen this described as a man-made and a natural disaster in the sense that because of its geography, the Philippines ought to have known the vulnerability of some of these low-lying areas.
They did, and there was 126,000 people evacuated. But it was the surge that caught everybody by surprise. Nobody expected these huge waves, tsunami-like waves, to come in. So the food that was pre-placed there, also a lot of it got swept away. So you're looking at something that, you know, nobody expected or had control over. Who can have control over waves of 20 meters high coming in? It's impossible.
What would you say the comparison is here in the Philippines to the much more severe, at least in terms of numbers, tsunami that took place in the last decade?
You're not going to be able to make comparisons until we do a full assessment of what the damage is. So far, we're still trying to get into Eastern Samar. The only way we can get in is through motorcycle. The roads are so badly blocked. The only thing that's getting through is motorcycles. How can you deliver aid into that without, you know, a fleet of helicopters? Maybe that's what it will take to deliver aid. But I would be reluctant to actually do any big comparison on that until we know what we're dealing with. And we're still not sure what we're dealing with yet.
And it took a long time to know what we were dealing with in those disasters you mentioned. Orla Fagan is Humanitarian Affairs Officer for the United Nations Office of Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs in Manila. Orla, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
NYC Now delivers the most up-to-date local news from WNYC and Gothamist every morning, midday, and evening. With three updates a day, listeners get breaking news, top headlines, and in-depth coverage from across New York City. By sponsoring programming like NYC Now, you'll reach our community of dedicated listeners with premium messaging and an uncluttered audio experience. Visit sponsorship.wnyc.org to get in touch and find out more.